Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create deeper connection to yourself, to others, and every aspect of your life. Make sure you keep track on the market page at the website. I'll put the link down in the show notes as a book is coming out. So excited. This is my first book on this topic of Purna Asati, Forming Complete Connections. It's a very, very practical workbook. And at the same time, it's a beautiful art book. It's a very, very unique kind of thing. So anyway, I'm so excited to be putting this book out. We'll be putting out an audio book to go with it and a music album to go with it at the same time. Very, very cool. So today we're going to be talking about how the fear of missing out has us completely missing out. And it's something that you probably know and kind of feel it in your gut, but we're going to talk today about actually what to do about that, and we're going to go deep into all kinds of social media stuff. And before we do, I want to take a moment to give a great big hello to Lijiang China, who is joining us. That's a new one. Thank you for this connection. Very exciting to have you on board. Thanks for joining us from Lijiang China. So, fear of missing out, this, FOMO, as they call it, this is the reason that social media is so addictive. It's the reason that email is so addictive, right? Everybody kind of bashes social media for fear of missing out. But email as well. Web surfing, getting lost for hours on YouTube, I'm in a glass house. I can easily get lost on YouTube for hours and accomplish nothing, and at the same time learn nothing, but maybe have a good laugh, or not, or just get all sort of stressed out. So the problem is, the fear of missing out is what makes us go and spend so much time on social media, digging around, and it makes us check our email 27,000 times a day, makes us go online and spend time, maybe too much time, on these kinds of things. And we've gotten to a point where we no longer actually communicate with friends and family. What do? We post to empty space, and we wait for pings of acknowledgement, or lack thereof, which we translate into our own unworthiness. Oh, nobody liked my post. We check news pages continuously, and they oblige our thirst for updated headlines by reporting mostly on what people said. Right? How often do you check the news every day? Probably more than you should. And they feel the pressure. News outlets feel the pressure too, right? They know people are showing up as many as a dozen times a day or more, and they feel like they need to have fresh content. So what have they done? Instead of just articles that talk about what happened, that you end up with sometimes 80 to 90, sometimes 100% of the news is just what somebody said. And what somebody said about what that other person said is ridiculous. But they feel the need to give you something new, so they're just talking about what people are talking about. It's easier and it's faster than finding out what people might have actually done and reporting on that. That takes work. But you can report on what somebody tweeted, and that's easy and quick. We want it now. We want new headlines. We want fresh distraction. We want acknowledgement and validation of our fragile and temporary little selves. We want distraction from what we know to be true, but we refuse to face. It's all such a lovely way to convince ourselves that we're engaged with the world, while expertly avoiding relationships and avoiding self-development, avoiding realization and actualization and life itself. Because what are you doing? What are you not doing? Switch that up. What are you not doing when you're just scrolling through a social media feed? When you're checking your email for the 1,000th time today? When you're on that news website for the 5th time today? You know what you're not doing? You're not living. You're not forming real connections to anything or anyone. There's no real connection there of any kind. Well, that's something to think about. Are you using it as a distraction about what it is that you know is true but you refuse to face? It's all such a lovely way to convince ourselves that we're actually engaged with people or the world. But we're not. We can rocket through our years right to the end and never really have to learn anything or feel anything or experience anything. Stop. Love, gratitude, and peace are our natural state of being. And if you strip away these fear-inducing distractions, you can feel it. Manifest from a place of love and get magic and connection. I think it's about connecting to each other, to places, to the energy that's around you, and to your truth. But instead, we demonize each other back and forth in shallow, air-deep posts, and we judge each other on equally shallow online presence and gossip, while our true selves go unnoticed. And the true selves of others is dismissed. So how do we avoid the shallow shadow relationships and see instead the full humanity of ourselves and others? Well, the first thing is we must see and accept our own full humanity and not judge it. We must not feel inferior to or superior to anyone, but a part of the same whole. Self-acceptance is the key first step. Once we can look at ourselves without judgment, then we stand a chance of looking at others without judgment. It's hard to see anyone's full humanity when all they share are the small facets that they want you to see. That's what you get with social media. You get the parts they want you to see. Well, how are you supposed to see their full humanity if they're not sharing their full humanity? I spoke with a young college student a while back, and they suggested that we need secrecy. That psychologically, she had heard this in one of her classes, that we need secrecy. We need a layer of things that we keep to ourselves, and we need another layer of things that we share with just a few close connections. And then we have the public layer that we can share with everybody, and that's fine. And the public layer helps people with practical and goal-oriented tasks and can inspire us to accomplish and to try. For example, you're just trying to find a good restaurant, or you're trying to accomplish something. But the stuff that people really wrestle with is hidden in the private layers. If you really want to connect, you have to touch on what they don't share with anyone. So let's talk about what we share and what we hide. The types of things, right? Because you say, well, if they're hiding it, how am I supposed to know what it is? Well, let's talk about it. We publicly share things like practical knowledge, task-oriented things. I did this, I'm going to do that. Accomplishments, funny things, the funny, cute, happy things that our kids did, or the funny, cute, happy things that our pets did. And sometimes we'll share our grief and loss, but not everyone shares that publicly. Some people they don't like. Some people that helps them to share that publicly, and others don't want to share grief and loss publicly. That's fine. So then, what is it that you reserve for your close circle? It tends to be self-care or body-related issues, right? Is generally something you don't post publicly, but you may talk about with your close friends. Issues of around sexuality or relationships. Most people keep politics in their close circle. Most people don't post it publicly. Some people do. Dreams and aspirations, as long as they're socially acceptable, you'll tend to share that with your close circle. Family issues, if you hate your job, and the embarrassing stuff that your kids did. That's close circle stuff. Then there's what we keep to ourselves that we don't even share with our close circle of friends. And these are things like stuff that might be misused or misrepresented or misinterpreted. You worry that someone could interpret it badly, so you don't talk about it. You don't share what people don't understand or you think they won't understand. You don't share what makes you feel guilty or ashamed or angry at yourself. We don't share that stuff. We don't tend to share what makes us feel unworthy. You don't tend to share your debt situation or your addiction or your STD. We don't tend to share the things that we don't want pity for. And you don't share what might make people dislike you or see you in a negative light. And you certainly don't share your own self-image. There's an interesting piece of research that found that people share other people's posts specifically to bring valuable and entertaining content to others, or to define themselves, to maintain and nourish relationships, or to feel involved in the world, or to support causes and brands, and or to process information more deeply. But what this all boils down to is this. We share to make ourselves look good, feel good, or to express empathy, which makes us look good. In other words, people share what makes them look or feel good, and they hide what makes them look or feel bad. Therefore, what you see on social media is only half of the truth. We post only what we are willing to show the public, which is what makes us look and feel good. But what bonds people and what deepens relationships past the acquaintance level into a level of real human connection is the sharing of what we don't want everyone to know. The secrets and the feelings that we're not proud of, our humanity, the weakness, the fear, the little moments, the profound experiences. That means that when we make social media our only connection to someone, that connection is not real. We are fooling ourselves. If you want connection, you will have to create it through channels that offer an environment better suited to sharing the hard stuff. So what can we do? Let's talk about what we can do. I have three ideas. You'll have to tell me if this works for you. But here's what I'm going to try. Step one, start missing out on fear, hate, and the emotions that you do not want. That means significantly limiting your time that you spend on apps and websites and in activities that promote negative feelings or that distract you from your own self-development and life transformation. This might be social media, it might be news websites, it might be your email. Figure out what that is for you and start missing out on it a little bit more. Significantly limit your time in those things. Step two, work to see your own humanity. When you choose to share the full truth. because that will help other people see your full humanity, good and bad. Step 3, have real relationships. Talk to people in person. Talk to them by phone. Maybe private text message where they can feel free to share the stuff they might not otherwise. See their full humanity and give compassion for your shared humanity, your shared journey together in this life. You're both human, trying to find your way. What if we did that? What would happen if today, instead of hanging out on social media and news websites and in your email inbox and surfing the web, what if you spent that time instead catching up by phone or by text with a friend? Or having a really deep conversation with your partner? Where you both shared the full truth of your humanity? Where you both talked about the stuff you didn't really want to post online? It can be liberating. Truly freeing, because therein you'll find mutual support for whatever challenge you're working with right now. And if you just don't feel like you've got a friend that you can share any of that with, then I want to open the door for you to share it with me, because I'm here to see your full humanity. So you can click on the link down in the show notes, that'll take you to the community page. Send me a note. Let me know how I can help. And that's pretty heavy for today, so we'll stop there. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope this has been helpful. Drop me a line and let me know. And until next time, I'm wishing you, Perna Asati, complete connection.